Good to see you this morning. A little bit of frost out there, I believe. A little chill. Feels good in here. No response. I'm just kind of looking to see, make sure everybody is awake. You know, you made a choice this morning. You got up out of the bed. It was nice and warm there, and you went and got by the fire. You got out of that, and you went and got in the shower. Well, most of you did. Some of you may not have. But you got in your cold car and cranked it up because you knew that being in the presence of God with other people is one of the most important things you can do on a weekly basis. It is one of the most exciting things that will stir your spirit if you allow it to do that. So I ask you to stand. And because you've already made a choice to be here, I ask you to choose, as this team leads us into the presence of God, to bask in His presence this morning.
Thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, but there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive.
Come to pass. Let it be done. triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Strength in the joy of knowing that He is with you. this moment. Thank you, Father, for your hope. Thank you.
Far above. says, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. When he laid down his life for us, he knew how many times we would fall. He knew how many times we would have to be picked up, how many times we would cry out for mercy, every time that we would cry out for love and peace. And yet, he did it for us. And every day he gives us that new mercy. Every morning he regathers those scattered pieces because he loves us unconditionally. He gives us the peace that we need to follow him each and every day. He gave us this eternal life so that we can have joy, so that we can have love, and we can have peace. Amen.
Thank you.
are so good. All we have is thanksgiving and gratefulness in our hearts for you, God. That your love is never ending and it's unfailing, God. That we can come to you broken and you pick up those pieces and you mend them. Full of mercy and full of grace, God. Every moment, every day, Lord, that we can come to you, we can rely on your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen.
Aren't you glad because of his grace you're not a wretch? And all we have to do is be awakened to that, to who we are in him. The goodness of God is just amazing. You got your bulletin. Inside your bulletin is a connection card. If you're a member of Eagles Way Church, we ask each and every week that you fill that out just so we have record of your visit, a way that you can communicate with us. If you're visiting for the first time, thank you for being here. We'd love for you to fill that out. If you put in an email, we'll send you an email. Or if you put in a cell number, we'll send you a text. We're not going to show up or call or anything like that. But God bless you. Thank you that you're here. Pastor, as you're coming, I've had about two or three people say they've Googled Kainos and need to know an explanation. So I'm assuming this morning, since you've been talking about it for a few weeks and now they definitely see it, that you'll give them that.
All right, yeah. First of all, I want to say thank you, visitors, for being here. I saw all these visitors coming in. I went to Barbara and I said, do I have a baby dedication I don't know about? I forgot about. And she says, not that I know of. And I asked Will, I said, do I have a baby dedication? He says, not that I know of. But thank you for being here. And so you won't think that you came to a university and the fraternity is Kainos. This is not a fraternity, although I would like to initiate one. Maybe we'll just call this the Kainos University this year. Kainos is a Greek word, and it means new. And Jesus said that at the renewal of all things, then there would be some wonderful things to transpire. How many know that Jesus came to make all things new? Revelations 21, he says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice crying and saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will be their God, and I will be their people. They'll be my people. And I shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more pain, nor sorrow, nor crying, for all the former things are passed away. And behold, I am making all things new. He says, write, for these words are true and these words are faithful. It's not only true words, they're faithful words. That's going to happen. And so ever since Christ came, there has been this onward renewal of the earth and of mankind that's bringing us more and more into the image of God and who we're always have been and always will be. But we have to believe that first. And so today we're going to talk about recovering, say recovering, recovering our Godness, recovering our Godness. Now, I want to define those two words for you, recovering, and I want to define Godness in a moment. But first of all, I want to read from Genesis chapter 1, all right? Then God said, there's going to be no words on the screen this morning. You go look at me and listen to me, okay? I want you to stay focused. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Let us create human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. I never grow tired of reading that. I never grow tired of reading that. And this week I was in my office And I looked at an old book I've had for probably 30 years. It's a very small book, and it's about this thick, and it's called The Names of God. And I've taught this series probably twice over the 40-some-odd years, but this time the Spirit spoke to me and says, I want you to do this series one more time, but not seeing who I am, I want you to see who you are. That as you go through these names of God, this time not to see who God is, but to see who you are. Yep. Good. So, how can we do that? Well, first of all, we've got to know what godness is. Godness is two things. Here's the definition of godness. You ready? The quality of being God. Yes, sir. I know that's heavy for some of you, so I'm going to give you the second part of it. The divine nature, or an aspect of it, as embodied or expressed in a human being.
Yes, sir. Come on, Bjorn.
Wow. The quality of being God, or that's too much for you, the divine nature or an aspect of it as embodied or expressed in a human being. Yes, you know, when I was a little boy, this is what this church was built on. Yeah. This church was established on this. When I was a little boy, three men met in my father's living room. And they talked. I would wake up, I'd get up in the middle of the night or late night. And then we had a hallway. How many remember the houses that had a little hallway where the phone sat? Yep. The phone sat, and the floor furnace was there. And the big old, and the electric blanket was a blanket that you stood over the floor furnace and got warm, and then you ran to bed. That, remember those days? Some of you, what is he talking about? So that was my electric blanket. And sometimes mother was really nice. I'd go to bed and she'd warm my blanket, then she'd bring it in there and tuck me in. And I wish that could happen again. Recovering. Why recovery and not rediscovery? Because we never lost it. We just lost our awareness of it. I was sitting listening to these three men talk, and they talked like God was in the room with them. They talked like that they could do what he said they could do. They talked about God in a way that made it so alive and real to me that as a little boy, I would sit there for hours listening to them, excited about what they were saying. And God planting into their heart to start a church that would believe this. And that I forgot all about that until this week. And I just had this revelation, this vision of me sitting in that little cubbyhole next to that phone, listening to these three men talk about God in a way that they really believed he was God. And that they talked about him like he was there with them. He didn't talk about him like he was far off in the distance somewhere, but they talked about him like he was sitting in the room with them. And he was. He was. And rediscovery or recovery means this: to get back again. To bring back to a normal position. This is not abnormal. This is normal. To gain by legal process. You have a legal process to get this. It's okay to be like God.
Absolutely.
It's legal. It's illegal not to be like God. That's illegal. To define or identify again. Yeah. To save from loss and restore to usefulness. To cover again anew. You know. It's something in the hospital called the recovery room. It's the post-operative room. It's where a person goes after surgery. And most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, the reason you're in that recovery is because something has been disconnected from you that needed to be disconnected, or something has been connected in you that needed reconnecting. If there's a tumor in me that's cancerous, I would like for that to be disconnected. And a skilled surgeon will go in and disconnect what needs to be disconnected, but he may have to go in and connect what needs to be reconnected. And I think we need to be disconnected from some things to be connected to some things. See, Jesus said, you can't take this new wine and put it into an old wineskin. It has to be reconnected. It has to be renewed. And he said, you can't take a new patch and put it on an old cloth. My mother didn't read that when I was a little boy. Mike and I, before he passed away, were talking one day. We grew up poor and didn't know it. I didn't know we were poor. But because Daddy never talked about it, we were poor, he never talked about that. He never talked like we didn't have anything. He never talked negative. Our household wasn't filled with that kind of talk. But Mother would, I had jeans and I would wear jeans out real quick, and she'd take a new patch and put on that old jean, but it would just start ripping away before long. Some things you gotta just do away with. Some things you gotta renew. You got to know what thoughts I need to disconnect with and what thoughts I need to connect with. See, this morning I was in the shower and Barbara was leaving, and she came in and she says, I got a word for you. I said, well, that's a fine time to give me a word. I said, but here I am all vulnerable and in the shower. I ain't got nothing. I can't come back with, you know, let me give you a word. And so I'm there shaving in the shower, and she says, God woke me up at 3:00 this morning. And then when Barbara says, God woke me up at 3:00 this morning, and she says, I got a word for you, I know something's coming down. And I don't tell you what the word was, but it was a good word. And it was a word directly to me from God through her that said what to do and what not to do. And so that's what we're doing this morning. I've known this for a long time, but why are you here? Why am I here? And you could find this in the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Methodists. You can find it in almost every catechism there is that people go through, in every denomination that there is. And it's these two things. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is in every catechism of every denomination, whether it's Presbyterian, Catholic, Episcopalian, Methodist. That what is the chief end of men? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what our chief end is for. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. To enjoy Him for. Say enjoy. You know, most of the people, why people don't go to church, why most people don't want to serve God. You know why? I'll tell you why. They don't think it's fun. They don't believe that there's joy in it. They believe that if I give my heart to God, if I serve God, it's going to be miserable. I thought that. I made my mind up. I mean, I was raised up in church, but, you know, I saw so many people that were so unhappy and critical and judgmental and mean and not happy and having no fun. But I wanted to go to heaven, but I didn't want to serve God. But I mean, everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, if you believe in a heaven and a hell, you want to go to heaven. And that's what I believe. I believe in a heaven and a hell, and hell didn't look too good. I mean, burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and torment. I mean, just to be touched fire just with my finger, that hurts. I don't want to burn forever in hell, but I don't want to serve God either, because I can't have fun. And I love fun. I've loved fun since I was a kid. I love fun so much that I couldn't wait to get out of school to have fun. This way, it wasn't fun in school. I hated school with every fiber of my being. I hated study with every fiber of my being. And God said, I'm going to make you study all your life. You study now, you study forever, boy. And so I got out of school and knew nothing else but God. So I had no choice. I'm not here because God called me. I didn't have no choice. I couldn't work on a car. I can't build a house. I can't do plumbing. I can't do electrical work. The fact that those letters, you should have seen Will hanging those letters, and I'm out here giving it balance. And if you see it unbalanced, don't blame Will. If you see anything that's disproportionate, and it's not his fault, he took best he could. It was me out here going, lift this up, bring that down. Y'all, bless his heart. I'm here because I had nothing else to do. This is what I can do. And this is what I'm going to do. And so God is what it's all about. But the way that I can come to my Godness, I got to realize something. I've got to know him. I got to know him. If you look, read John chapter 17, we won't go there. I won't go there and read those scriptures. John chapter 17, Jesus said several times, he says, if you to know God, to have life, to really have eternal life, to really have a good life, you got to know who God is. And you got to know who I am. And then he went on to say in John chapter 17, you not only got to know who God is and who I am, but you got to know who you are. You got to know. Say no. No is not just knowledge here. No is experiential knowledge. Knowledge that you experience. Adam knew Eve. He experienced Eve and she was pregnant and had a son. God knew us. We need to know God. And we know him by experiencing him. We experience him. And so Jesus says, you got to know God. You got to know me. You got to know you. If you get to know God, get to know me and get to know you. And so the very first name of God in the Bible is Elohim.
There it is.
In the beginning, God. Elohim. Creator. Created the earth. In the beginning, what you're going to see, I'm jumping way ahead, in these 12 names of God, however long it takes us to get through it, I've jumped way ahead and already went through them. You will find from Elohim all the way down to the very last name of God, 12 names that describe who he is a perfect outline of your life and everything you need in this world. But see, we're finding out more and more. It's not what God can do for us. It's what God can do through us. We gotta realize it's not what he can do for us. It's what he can do through us. You know, I want you to, I don't have this down yet. I don't have this down yet. Don't think I'm getting up here. I never get up here to preach down to you. I get here to preach to us. Because what I'm learning, what I'm seeing, I'm standing in the shower this morning and listening to my wife give me a word that's telling me I ain't got it. I'm getting it. And what I need to stop doing, what I need to start doing. Because I tell you, it's an ongoing basis. This thing can slip through your fingers before you know it. Yeah. You can walk out of here and this thing can slip through your fingers before you know it. You can turn the TV on or read the paper or just think differently and all of a sudden you start slipping through your fingers. All of a sudden you start losing grip of it. You got to meditate on this. You got to think about this. You got to discipline yourself to speak the things you need to speak. God, Elohim, said, let there be. It was what he spoke. He said in Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And so God looked and created and he got the cosmos out of the chaos. This is good. He got the light out of the darkness and he got habitation out of desolation because he spoke it. And he says, now you have the same privilege to let Elohim in you create your world by speaking it. was preaching a couple of weeks ago, and my six-year-old grandson was sitting right here. And I was talking about you got to take your belief and bring it into your behavior. You got to become what you believe. And I said, you know, the devil believes and trembles. And you know what, Jet, my six-year-old grandson yelled out, "There ain't no devil." You say, oh, there is. Not to him. He's decided at 6 years of age, I'm not going to have a devil. I'm going to have a God. I'm not going to have an adversary. I'm going to have a God. You can choose. The Bible says don't give the devil any place. Well, the best way I know to not give him any place is don't even acknowledge that he is. I mean, he stopped me in my track. I wanted to say, get up here, Jet, you preach. You got this more than you got. Gaga's got it. Gaga's been preaching for 40-something years, and in 6 years of age, you already got. There ain't no devil, because I'm not going to let him in my life.
Come on, man. Yes.
You know Ralph's going to help me preach. Jet's not here. So between me, Jet, and Ralph, we're going to give you a word this morning.
Yes, sir.
And the word is, you speak into existence what you're going to have in your world.
Come on, Bjorn.
What you say is what's going to happen. Jesus said, if you got a mountain in your way, run from it. No, you got a mountain. He says, speak into this mountain and say, be thou removed, get out of my way. And to you who believe, it shall be. Speak it, speak it, say it. Things you got, whatever's causing you not to see it, get it out. Disconnect it.
Yes, sir. Come on,
Bjorn. Disconnect it. God saw what it was. You know, God even decided when Adam and Eve fell, Eve blamed the serpent.
Yeah.
Adam blamed Eve. God took the blame. God just came. Adam's not going to take the blame. Eve's not going to take the blame. So God says, okay, I'll come up with a solution. I'll handle this thing. After all, it was my fault. I created you. That's Bjornism, so don't take that out of here. Think about it, though. He took responsibility, and he began to speak and to say. And that's how he created everything. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation. God said, let there be fish in the sea. God said, let us create man in our own likeness, in our own image. God said it. This whole journey begins. Jacob, which was the three patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God said, I'll be known, this will be my name, memorial name forever. I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. And Abraham was gone, Isaac was gone. Jacob now is struggling to find out his identity. He's struggling to find his identity. Who am I? And so he's at this place called Bethel. And he takes a rock and he lays his head on the rock and he has a dream and he sees a ladder and angels ascending and descending. And he wakes up and there's this voice that comes to him and he's saying to Jacob, Jacob, I'm going to give you everything that I have promised. Everything I'm going to give it to you. And then Jacob says these words. Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it. Truly, God is in this place, that place, every place. We don't know it. Before there was a word, there was a creation. How did Abraham know God? How did Adam and Eve know God. I saw a post this week and people making fun of it and laughing about it. And there were these naturalists who were in a forest and they were crying over dead trees. And so sometimes Christians want to, you make fun of that. They just may have more spirituality than you have any idea what it's about.
Sir.
Don't make fun of somebody who's crying over a dead tree, because maybe they see God in the dead tree. Maybe they see God in creation. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says they didn't know God because they didn't see him in the creation. He says, no man is without excuse. Creation screams out God day in and day out. You can't look at creation and not see God unless you just don't want to. You can't do it. If we want to, it starts with what we say. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus Christ, you will be what? Saved. What does that mean? Saved from hell to go to heaven? No. Made whole, created, coming back to awareness of who you really are. You're in his likeness, you're in his image, so you can become in his likeness. I loved it when they came to Jesus one time, and the Pharisees always wanted to trap him. Don't you know you can't trap God? We try to trap him all the time. He's trying to be trapped this morning in churches all around the world. Don't mean to be critical, but he really is. He's trying to be trapped. Trying to trap him. You can't trap God. You can't put him in a box. You can't trap him. And they come and said, here's a coin. Whose it belong to? And Jesus said, whose image is on it? He said, Caesar's. Render to Caesar what is his. Render to God what's his. What image are you? I ain't concerned about the coin. I'm concerned about you. I ain't concerned about coins. I can go get corn up a fish's mouth. Well, we ain't got no money. We can't pay the taxes. They're gonna get us. We can't pay taxes. Go catch a fish, open his mouth, take a corn, go pay the taxes. I'm not worried about taxes. I'm worried about you. You're created in the image of God, Elohim, to be a creator. And second of all, Jehovah. I'll tell you about that later on, about Jehovah's Witnesses, and give you some understanding of why they, you know, they're the one, the few denomination that will focus on Jehovah. There's a reason for that. Jehovah was a name that even the Jew wouldn't say. Because Jehovah means the self-existent one, the essential life. He's Jehovah, our righteousness. Our righteousness. I want you to see that if we will confess with our mouth who we are in the image to be the likeness of God, and that we will see just Jehovah. Jehovah was a name of God that had nothing to do with what he did. It had to do with who he was. It's the only name of God that had to do with who he was, had nothing to do with what he does, was who he was. He was true righteousness and true holiness. And I want you to see here, Kitty, come. I want to read you some scriptures about Jehovah God in the Old Testament. And I want you to see that God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. How many know God's not schizophrenic? God didn't go, oops, I need to change. I need to do away with the old and bring in the new. Nope. He's always been God. He's always been Jehovah. He's always been the righteous. And I just want to give you a few scriptures about it. You go all the way to Ephesians first, and says, Ephesians 4, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly righteous and holy. You can't be righteous and holy until you know that you already are. You live out of the image from whom you see. If I believe I'm righteous and holy, I'll be righteous and holy. But I got to believe I already am. God has always been that. God said to a man one time named Hosea, said, Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to marry a prostitute, a prophet of God. And this prostitute's going to prostitute on you. She's going to go out and lay with other men. Your wife is going to go out and lay, not with another man, with other men. She's going to go sell her body to numerous men. And then Hosea, one day, she's going to be put on a stage, stripped naked. And men are going to bid on her. And I want you to go, Hosea. And I want you to bid. I want you to buy her back. And so he says in Hosea 11:8, oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? How can I destroy you? My heart is torn within me. My compassion overflows. He's never changed. Happy are those who fear the joyful call to worship, for they shall walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exalt in your righteousness. Jeremiah 31:3, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love. I've drawn you to myself. Wherever you are this morning, you've got to be awakened to the fact who God is in you. And that you were created in his likeness, in his image, and always have been. See, there's a natural image I have I can never get away from. I was created in E.D. Goss's image. Can't get away from that. No matter, you know, you may say, I just don't want to be like my daddy. Guess what? You are. My brother was really created in daddy's image. He just like him. I'm more like mama. I'm sweet. But we can't get away from that image in the natural. And I can't get away from this image in the spiritual. Because before I was conceived in my mother's womb, I was with God. Garth Brooks has a song. You need to listen to it, called Mom. And it's a little baby in heaven saying, don't send me down there. I want to stay here. The song simply says, I'm going to send you down there. There's somebody who really needs you and wants you, and they're going to raise you, but one day you're going to come back to me. Garth Brooks has got it. I think I can get it. Sitting down, my toe hurts. Eddie's family's sick with the flu and everything else. My family can't walk. Dusty's got a knee injury from snow skiing. Anna's got a foot injury from playing basketball. I got a bad toe from old age. My brother-in-law's got a bad knee. I don't know why he's got a bad knee. I'm not going to go there, bring him into my thing. But though this outward man's perishing, the inward man's being renewed daily. more this outward man fades away, the more the inward man is renewed. And I'm more like God today than I ever have been and ever will be. Then I'll be more tomorrow and the next week and the next year, because I've been awakened to a fact that I'm in the creation of the image of my God. And He has never, ever, 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 ever turned His back on me. He has never, ever, ever, ever not had me in His thoughts and you in His thoughts. This man in our church, for 20 years he's been sober. He has AA meetings up in the youth building every week. And they use a term called recovering alcoholics. And though I have a different view on that, I'll never come against his stand that he's a recovering alcoholic. But they don't focus on the alcoholic, he focuses on the recovering. Are you with me? I'm constantly in recovery. Because I tell you what, I'm going to walk out of here today, and I'm going to stumble sometime. I'm going to need my wife to walk up to a shower when she knows she's got me. Got me cornered, ain't going anywhere, big boy. And says, I got a word from you, from God. And I'm going to have to know, and I have to just disconnect, 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 connect, connect, connect all the time. Because I'll see somebody walking down the street, or I'll see somebody in an automobile and not see them as who they really are. There's God in the flesh. There's a human being created in the likeness and the image of God. No matter who they are, where they are, what they are, what they're doing, what their behavior is, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. You're so great. You should be. We should be so grateful and thankful that we know today we're in the image and likeness of God. And out of that posture, I can become what I believe, what I say, what I think. But I've got to do it. And I wish I could say, folks, you can just get an osmosis. I wish I could say you could just take this and hold it and walk around with it all day long and it will get in you. It won't. You can walk around with this thing in your hand all day long. It didn't come to get in your hand. I never grow tired of saying this either. The destiny of this book is not here. This is not the destiny of the Word of God. As much as I love it, I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. That's not the destiny of it to be on this printed page. That's not the destiny of the Word. The destiny of the Word was to be in here. And then I become a living epistle read of all men. And they see me, they see God. They see me, they see love. They see me, they see patience. When they see me, they see hope. They see me, they see faith. They see me, they see. Gotta see. But you gotta see. When I was a young man, a young preacher, I had a dream. And I spoke just a little bit last week. I want you to know somebody. God speaks. God spoke to Joseph in a dream, spoke to Moses through a bush. He speaks in different ways. And I was this young preacher, didn't know who I was, struggling with my identity, trying to tell people who they are, and I didn't know who I was. I had this dream. I got up and I told Barbara, I said, I got this dream. I told her what it was. I said, I'm going. I think this was on a Thursday morning. I said, I'm going to Atlanta today. And I'm going to buy me some clerical. I didn't even know what a clerical collar was. I'm going to go buy me clerical collar. She said, do what? I said, I'm going to go buy, I'm not going to wear suits and ties anymore. For right now, I'm going to go buy Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Catholic collar. And this was my dream. I would dream I had that on, and God spoke to me and said, you don't know who you are. So you're going to do this. I didn't call my deacon board. I didn't say, I was showed up on Sunday morning in a Pentecostal church. I never forget, with a gray clerical collar with my little white tab. I wish you'd have seen my 40 Pentecostal members. Bless their Pentecostal hearts. I walked into the foyer and they came in one by one. And they walked up and went, I mean, some did this. Some came up and said, what the hell? I'm not exaggerating. Some came up and said, you have got to be kidding. What are you doing? We don't have but 40 now. We got to have any after today. That's what one deacon said. They're all going to be gone after today. You dumb. And didn't faze me, because I had a dream and God spoke to me. And I got up and preached like a house on fire. And you know what they said afterwards? One by one, don't take that collar off. Don't take that collar off. We don't know if it's that or not, but just don't take that off. It wasn't the collar. Had nothing to do with it, Will. That's what it did to me. And God said, from this day on, don't ever, ever forget who you are. Don't ever forget who you are. And it's been a journey since. From a collar to a tie to jeans. I don't know what I'm going to wear on Sunday mornings. What do I feel like wearing now? Because it ain't this. Had a little boy one time. We did communion full. Episcopalian communion. I have the robe and the stole. I mean, man. And I was back in office one day after a big communion service, and this little boy came by me, and I was taking off my robe and my rope. And I mean, I really ain't called rope. It's a better term. Anyways, I was taking it all off, and he looked at me and said, so you're not a priest, huh? One time a kid looked up at me. I was coming in and said, hey, that Batman. It ain't that. It ain't this. It ain't this. It's what's in here. And what's in here is in you. What's in here is in you. What's in God is in you. I want you to stand. And you're here this morning, and God has spoken to you. You're a visitor here. You didn't by chance happen to walk in here today and see this strange word and hang it up in a church, kainos. I wonder what in the world is kainos. I want new things in my life. He wants to make you new. And let me tell you, not only does he want to make you new today, he wants to make you new tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And you'll live in a process of old things passing and all things becoming new. And you're here today, and God has spoken to you and awakened you to that. Would you come and just stand across the front and says, I want to begin my walk anew today with this new understanding of a God who created me in his image so I could be like him. Would you just walk down here and stand? Just do that. I want to get into this understanding of who I really am. Not what people have said who I am. Not what I've told myself. What God, who God says I am. Will you do that? I want to start this day to live who God says I am. Not who other people have said that I am. And not who I've said to myself I am. But who God says that I am. I am. Because these names, you are Elohim. You are a creator. You can speak it into. A few more need to come. Some of you here, there are some things that have attached to you that you need to disconnect from. There are experiences, there are things. You just got to decide, I'm disconnecting from this. I'm not going to let this bother me anymore. This is not going to identify me anymore. I'm disconnecting from that today. This is not going to be my identity. It's not going to be our identity. I'm going to disconnect so I can connect. I'm going to disconnect from an old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. Been some experiences in some people's lives. You're not down here yet. You need to get down here. There have been some experiences in your life where that has brought your identity, and that thing is just keeps hounding at you. You got to disconnect from that. That's not you. That experience isn't you. That behavior is not you. That was just an experience. That's not you. Scriptures, as a woman in the lineage of Jesus who was called Rahab the harlot, she never lost that name, Rahab the harlot. And she wasn't a harlot. She wasn't a harlot. She used to be. She was. But they never got that title from her. And she lived a whole life with Rahab the harlot. Two spies went into Jericho one time, went to Rahab's house, and she hid them, took her up to her rooftop and hid them under flask that she had left her life of prostitution and become a woman of virtue, a Proverbs 31 woman who works with flask with her hands and takes care of her household. You know what? You could call me Rahab the harlot. She's saying all you want. I'm not. I'm Rahab in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 1. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. My name's in Matthew chapter 1 that nobody wants to read. 13 generations from Abraham to here. 13 more generations from here to here. 13 more generations to the Son of the living God is on this planet. And I'm his blood. My blood's in him. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not Burek Goss, who once did this. I still walk into places now. And I'm Burek Goss, the.
There it is, buddy.
That don't bug me. That don't bug me. They can call me that all they want. It's not who I am. My behavior at one time in my life doesn't define who I am today. It never has and it never will. And we got to stop letting other people and ourselves define us. I'm going to say something stupid probably before this day's over. That's not, but I'm not stupid. I'm going to probably think a dumb thought before this day's over, but I'm not dumb. I'm on a journey to be like him. It sounds like sometimes when we sing that song, Amazing Grace, it kind of comes against our theology now a little bit. It kind of doesn't sound like it fits our theology, but it really does. Because once you were lost, once you were wretched, but now you're not. If you knew the man who wrote that song, you know why he wrote it. Where he came from to where he was. And out of gratitude, not out of... He wrote Amazing Grace, not out of, but what he did, you know, where he wrote Amazing Grace. He went to the monastery. He went and he cleaned the floors the rest of his life, out of gratitude and thankfulness for what God had done for him, not out of because he had to, out of devotion to his God. He did it saying, God, thank you, every day cleaning the floors. Thank you, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Now and then I still fall back and see myself as I was, but then I think that's not who I am. I am from the great I am, and I'll be whatever he says I am. So come on. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Done. When we've been there 10,000 years, being as the sun, sing it with your heart. Things that are not as though they were, and what's not will be because you're saying it. You won't feel it, you won't see it, but as you keep saying it, it will unfold day after day, moment after moment, and the layers are just going to roll off every day, one at a time, and then you're going to see this gorgeous, beautiful human being in the image and in the likeness of God. But say it over and over and over and over. I have to do that. I have to do that. I have to do that. I saw myself as a failure last year. I spent 6 months calling myself a failure. 6 months. 6 months. 6 months. I stood here and preached my heart out to you, and I called myself a failure for 6 dadgum months. And you know what I was? A failure. Because I kept saying it. I'm not going to get up here and not be vulnerable. I'm not going to get up here and tell you I'm somebody that I'm not. I'm going to tell you my flaws. But I'm going to tell you I'm a good stuff too. I'm telling you that's not who I am. I said I was, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. Because if you could hear God right now, he'd be saying over me, "That's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That's who he is. That's my boy. That's my beloved John. That's Saint John. That's who he is. I got to keep telling myself that. See, y'all think I'm kidding when I say I'm Saint John. I ain't kidding. Kate said, "I know you're not kidding." I ain't kidding. I didn't anoint myself St. John out of being funny. I'm St. John because God says I'm St. John. And that's who I am. I'm St. John. You just call me St. John. If you don't call me anything, call me St. John. Yeah. Gonna be on my epitaph, St. John. Here lies the bones of St. John. Right. Y'all put it on there too. I tell you, put it on. Here lies the bones of St. John. Lived his whole life a saint. I got a book about saints. Some of them did one thing the whole life. They get sainthood. A pastor of 40-something years, a bunch of knuckleheads. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. You know who's in those knuckleheads? I was in those knuckleheads. We're all saints. We're all saints. Give yourself a hand. We're all saints. Not going to be the same. You heard it today with your heart. You saw it today with your eyes. And you're like Job, who said, "God, I heard with my ears, but now I see with my eyes." And see, that's what you're hearing with your ears today, but you're going to see with your eyes. With me? You hear today with your ears, but you're going to see it. It's great to hear it, but I want to see it, don't you? I want to see it. You heard it with your ears, but you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Your future's bright. God has come down and shown his glorious light upon you today. And you see with your eyes too. You've heard with your ears, but now you see it with your eyes. And it's never, ever, ever going to be the same. Never going to be the same. Never, ever. You never thought you'd be where you are today. Years ago, you'd have never thought it could happen. And yet you've just seen God just bless you in so many ways. And it's only just begun. It's only just begun. I saw a lady years ago who walked with her head down. I see a lady who walks with her head up. And she walks with such dignity. Because you know, you get to know more and more who you really are. Who you really are. In the image and the likeness of God is just bringing forth more and more. God, help us to just know how much you love us. Amen. God bless you.
I want to share with you an opportunity. I always like to give you those. We're celebrating this weekend a man that had a dream. Dr. Martin Luther King. The things that have taken place in our country since then have been good. They've been bad. But we continue to believe in the dream that he had. 5 years ago, Eagles Way became part of the Black Heritage Festival that started 5 years ago and is continuing. We are giving of our time and our talents and our funds. We provide some of the support to make it happen because we're sowing seed. We believe God has said that we are to sow into our community, every aspect of our community, and that the harvest that comes forth, we believe there'll be a harvest that will come forth. So I have two things to tell you. One is if you would like to be a part of a 200-member choir, community choir, you have that opportunity. I have the music, not that I can read it, but I have the music I can give you. There will be one rehearsal on the 27th of Saturday, the 27th of January. That will be at Oak Hill, that rehearsal. And there will be another rehearsal the day of the festival. At the festival, you'll get to hear not only the 200-member choir, you'll get to hear Griffin High School Choir, Spalding High School Choir, and there'll be five other choirs that will sing that evening. I have been on the platform for the last 5 years. And the prep work prior to getting there, the meetings that I have attended, I've always said, this is my last year. And every year I'm so blown away by the unity, by the diversity, by people's hearts that I'm working with, wanting to see things continue to get better, that dream that is there. Only show up if you can sing, and I can give you that information. But if you would just like to enjoy it, it's $10 a ticket. I believe it's $5 for a student. It's a two-hour program, and I'm telling you, it is powerful. Eagles Way is actually going to give away 20 tickets. I don't want you to take a ticket if you're not going. But if you are interested in attending, it's February 3rd. It's at 6 o'clock. It'll go from 6 to 8. And we want to sow seed into our community. So that's an opportunity. As our ushers are coming to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Last week I shared with you that I had a need. Needed for Rushton Hope. That Sharon was taking over the organizing my cooking team and that I now needed someone to help with the serving team. I had a couple come forward and say they're willing to help do that. Hey, that's absolutely, I'm saying hallelujah, but I still need a few people that are willing to serve on a regular basis. A regular basis doesn't mean you have to do it every month, but if everybody would do a little bit, it wouldn't take a lot. So I encourage you that look at the 27th, need you from 10 until about 1, and you will be blessed. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can receive, or we can give, or thank you for these tithes, these offerings, these alms. This seed, God, you've given us. And as we sow, and as we're fervent, that, Lord, you will bring forth the harvest that you've promised. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, stand and let's sing.
hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, and there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessings, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God.
Have a great day and a great week.